the old kingdom, the old covenant, was a sin-conscious covenant, and it was about man trying to relate to God and never being able to get out from under the fact that he could never see himself one with God because he was separated by sin. And it depended on man's efforts to do the things that God required of him. But the new covenant is within you. It's according to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. It's according to grace. Because grace is the prompting of the Spirit. It's God with you. And the new covenant brings you to a position of being God conscious. And apart from that, if what you hear is not bringing you to a position of being God conscious, then it's another gospel. And I want to turn right now to Galatians chapter 1. We're going to start with verse number 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you, which would pervert the gospel. If we get off into something apart from grace, it's another gospel that's been perverted. But it said it's not another. It's the gospel that's been twisted just a little bit. And if you remember, grace is the prompting of the Spirit. And if you're led of the Lord in any other way, then you have departed from grace. And I used to look at this scripture and think, well, this is talking about those people out there. But it says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from the him that calls you to grace. So it's talking about Christians. It's talking about people who know God according to grace. If you're not led by grace, then you're led from without. You're led by the law. You're led by your feelings, your emotions. So I want to turn right now to Romans chapter 7. And we're going to start with verse number 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For that which I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. And then verse number 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present within me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. So many Christians are so frustrated in their walk with God. You want to please God. You want to become godly and exhibit godly characteristics, but it becomes so frustrating because what you really see yourself doing, you're unable to do that. And if you come to that position, you know that you're not operating according to grace, because the fruit of the Spirit always brings peace. Turn to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. I noticed we listened to a tape that from the last time Arthur was here, and he used this scripture. So this will just be a good reminder and drumming it in again. This is Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, all you that feel fatigue and are heavy laden, and that means overburdened with spiritual anxiety, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. If you've become overburdened with spiritual anxiety, you are following after a different gospel. You're not being led by grace. You're being led by the law. And the Message Bible says it this way. Are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I will show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. So, if you're being led by grace, your Christian walk shouldn't be overburdened with spiritual anxiety. It should be a delight to walk with the Lord. It should be a pleasure, and not one thing, not something that seems like a struggle that you can't ever grab hold of. And let's relate this back to the vine and its branches and go to Matthew chapter 7. And I guess we can just sum up the differences between the two. Are you walking according to grace, the prompting of the Holy Spirit in your heart? Or are you operating out of willpower and the commandments? And a lot of us are serving God by willpower, not by the prompting of the Spirit. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 and 16, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles?" Beware of false prophets. They're religious imposters, but they're in sheep's clothing. It looks good. It sounds good. But you can tell by the fruit of it. What fruit does the Holy Spirit bring? Righteousness, peace, joy, gentleness, meekness. It's just a sense of well-being. But the fruit of the law is anxiety. It's frustration. And you can tell if you're tapped into the right root by what's being produced in your life. Verse number 17. "Every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, and an evil fruit cannot. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit." We look at our life and we become frustrated, and so immediately we begin to focus on self. What do I have to do? But as soon as you begin to focus on self, you're operating out of a corrupt tree. And the word corrupt means it's degenerated from what it was supposed to be. It's not the problem with the branch. The branch isn't the problem. When you think, I'm the problem, what do I have to do? The problem is, what are you tapped into? Because the branch is only fed by the trunk or the vine. So what the fruit that you see yourself producing is all a product of the value system or the belief system that you have been tapped into. If you hold your place right here and go back to Galatians, it just said a corrupt tree can't bring forth good fruit. But corrupt means it's degenerated from its original value. But in Galatians chapter 7, it says, "Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you, that would pervert the gospel of Christ." Its perversion is degenerated from what it was supposed to be, just the same as corrupt. And so it's not another gospel, it's something that's been twisted, and it's not what it should have been. Flip back over to Matthew chapter 7, verse 19. "Every tree that brings forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." The word "hewn down" means frustrated. It means nullified. It means it can't produce. And if you go back over to Galatians chapter 1, verse number 8, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed." The word "accursed" means it's doomed to failure. It's very similar to the word "hewn down." It's frustrated. It can't produce. So if you are tapped into the wrong root, if you become driven by your willpower according to the law, then all that's going to come forth is frustration and failure. Back over to Matthew chapter 7. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. We go back and carefully look at it. We see that this is someone that says, I've worked for God. I've done things. I've prophesied. I've cast out devils. But he said, I didn't know you. He says, not every one of you that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. And from my previous years, I would think, okay, they're going to hell. But what is the kingdom of heaven? It's within you. And it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And so, not everyone that is prophesying and doing all these things will ever come to realize those things in their life. They won't feel righteousness. They won't feel peace. They won't feel joy because they're operating from a perverted gospel. But he said, only the one that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. And we think, we associate the will of God with the Ten Commandments. But God's will is life eternal. God's will is for you to be set free. God's will is salvation. And it comes from being God conscious, not sin conscious. And you can see that a little bit more explained in the next verse. Verse number 23. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. It means, depart from me, you that are occupied with this issue of iniquity. And religion presents the gospel. And it's occupied with iniquity. It's occupied on pointing out your faults and flaws. It's occupied on trying to teach you how to measure up. It's occupied with bringing condemnation because you haven't measured up. And you continually walk under a burden where you never feel free. You always feel condemned. You always feel frustrated because it's a perverted gospel. What God really wants you to do is walk in an awareness of who he is, because it's Christ in me that brings me the hope of glory. And the work of the Holy Spirit is to make me God conscious, not sin conscious. So we can see these people around us, and it looks like they're occupied with the gospel. But it's a perverted gospel, and it can't produce righteousness, peace, joy, and that sense of well-being, because it's not the right root. It's rooted in sin consciousness. It's not rooted in God. Turn over to Galatians chapter 5. Let's just start reading with verse number 1. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. How did he make you free? By what he did for you, according to grace. Verse number 4. Christ has become of no effect to you. Whosoever are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Remember, what is grace? It's the divine influence of God on your heart and its reflection in your life. It's the prompting of the Spirit. If you begin to be prompted by circumstances and situations, and whether or not you're measuring up to the law, if you begin to be prompted by the law, you're depending on willpower now. And willpower cannot do what grace can do. God is the one that can change your heart and cause you to will and to do of his good pleasure. But if I try to change my heart, and as a Christian I have done this so many times, I said, I need to do this better. I need to pray more. I'll just do it every day. And it's great for about 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, maybe a day. And then all of a sudden, I find myself there again and again and again and again. And that's because the root that I'm tapped into is not the one that brings life. Because when you're carnally minded, it can only bring death. And the only way that you can operate spiritually is by the work of the Holy Spirit, by the prompting of the Spirit. Now let's go to verse number 9. And I want to read this out of the Amplified Bible. A little leaven, a slight inclination to error, or a few false teachers, leavens the whole lump. It perverts the whole conception of faith, or misleads the whole church. All it takes is just a little bit of law, a little bit of the teaching that's centered on becoming sin conscious, and the whole gospel becomes perverted. We're saved by the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God. And I spent so many years of my life trying to believe. I believe right here. But here there's some issues. And one day, when I was so frustrated, I looked up the word believe. And the definition was persuasion. Especially that you can count on Christ to provide everything you need. And I was thinking about that, and God suddenly brought to my mind, you're my bride. And in a relationship between two people, who courts who? The man courts the woman. And he said, Susan, let me court you. Let me persuade you. And then it'll be my faith, and it won't fail. But if it's based on me getting faith, there's a lot of Christians that are feeling spiritual anxiety because they're trying to work up faith. And all it takes is one moment with God, and it's easy. But when you try to do it by willpower, faith is one of the hardest works that there is. So let's go to verse number 17 in Galatians chapter 5. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one the other, so that you cannot do that you would. Hold your finger right there and go to Revelations chapter 3. I think Mickey brought the scripture out yesterday, but I want to bring this one out again. Chapter 3, verse 15. Revelations 3, 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spew you out of my mouth. If your works are cold, you're totally depending on the law. And you know what the law will do if you're totally depending on the law? It will make you realize you need a Savior. You can't do it. And if you're hot, you're totally depending on grace. You're totally depending on God. And it will set you free. But how do you become lukewarm? You're a mixture of hot and cold. And then it takes you right back to what we just read in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. We have become a mixture. And the mixture is what's killing us. We've gotten the old mixed up with the new, and we can't be free in either one of them. if you're depending on the law, and you have a little bit of grace thrown in, you never quite give up and say you can't do it, because you see moments that are good. And if you're depending on grace, and you have a little bit of law thrown in, you might have an up moment, but then it's followed by a down moment. And it becomes a very frustrating walk. And that's the problem that the church has. It's a slight inclination to error, a little perversion, another gospel that sounds good, that looks good, but it can never set you free. And now let's read a little bit farther. Verse number 22 in the same chapter of Galatians. It's just describing the fruits of, verse number 19 through 21 are describing the lusts of the flesh. If you're operating in the flesh, you're going to reap the things that the flesh reaps. You're going to have envying. You're going to have, we look at all these things, oh, these are bad things. But, you know, we have some of these things in us. Envyings, murders, drunkenness. Adultery. We get into a spot to where sometimes we look at someone else succeeding and we don't like that. Well, how come they're getting so much from God and I'm not getting anything? But then it goes on to end with the fruits of the Spirit. And if you're being led by grace, by the prompting of the Spirit, this will always be what flows out of you, because it's what's flowing through the trunk. It's what's flowing into the branch. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are in Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. You know what a lust is? Something you want, but you can't quite get. And he said, if he gives it to you by the Spirit, you don't have to lust after it. You can have it. But if you try to get it by the flesh, it's always something you want, but you can't quite lay your hands on it. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. What does that mean, let us walk in the Spirit? I just jumped ahead of myself a little bit. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 4. And we're going to read verse 22 through 31. Well, let's see. We'll just read 29 through 31. 22 begins with saying that Abraham too had two sons, one after the flesh, one after the promise. The one that came after the flesh was gendered bondage. Not only was he in bondage, but he produced bondage. And the one that was born after the Spirit was of promise, and it brought freedom. Now let's look at verse 29. We'll start with 28. And now, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise, but as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so now is it. That's just what we just talked about. If you're hot and you're cold, it's always this clash. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir of the son of the free woman. It's like he's saying, we have to get rid of this. We have to purge this out of our midst. I read the story of Abraham, and I always felt sorry for poor Hagar out there alone with that boy that was cast out. But God says they're from two different things. And what comes by the flesh will never inherit the things that come from the Spirit. What I do in the flesh will not allow me to see into the kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy. I can't experience those things. And what is salvation? It's really just walking in the fruits of the Spirit, in well-being in every area of your life, free of condemnation. Just experiencing the things of God. But if it's born after the flesh, if it comes by willpower, if it comes by focusing on the do's and don'ts, you will never experience that. It just said, cast out that one. Turn back to Galatians chapter 1, verse number 8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Remember, the word accursed means it's going to come to failure. But it also says, ban them from your midst. We can't continue to be double-minded. We can't continue to walk lukewarm if we want to experience the things within us that God wants us to experience. Turn to Romans chapter 8. And for just a moment there in Galatians, it says, though we are an angel, preach any other gospel. You know, there are things that sound good. And they come from people that you might respect. It might come from someone that you would think has a position that you respect. But we're all tainted with it in one way or another. But you have to be careful what you're hearing. Once you know the truth sets you free. But you can't keep dabbling with what doesn't set you free. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 6 through 8. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to God, the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You can't come from a position of being self-conscious and come to a place to where you see yourself the way that God wants you to see. The vine has to have the branch. If the vine is taken away from that branch, it has no life in it. But God wants you to see that you also add to Him. Wow. He sees you at the table as in a place of honor where He wants to serve you. And why is that? Because the vine displays the splendor and glory of the trunk. The trunk apart from itself has nothing to display. All of the fruit, all the showing off of what's in the trunk comes from us as we're attached into the trunk. We're the one that we bring Him to His fullness because we're His expression on this earth. Let's look at verse number 10 in Romans chapter 8. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse number 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. We are made alive by His quickening, by His Spirit, by His work inside of us that reveals the mind of God. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. It's all about being a son. It's all about being led by the Spirit of God. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 40, and I want to read this to you also in the Amplified. I'm going to look at verse number 6 first. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Well, I've got that in the King James. Let me read it in the Amplified. Sacrifice and offering you do not desire, nor have you delight in them. You have given me the capacity to hear and obey. Hear and obey your law, which is a more valuable service than burnt offerings and sin offerings, which you do not require. And then verse number 8 says, I delight to do your will, O God. Yes, your law is within my heart. He's given us a capacity to hear and obey. And He does that through His Spirit. And when you're led by the Spirit, you're the Son of God. And when you're led by the Spirit, it's a delight to serve God. So if serving God becomes an a work that brings anxiousness and anxiety and toil and stress and sweat, you're not being led by the Spirit. You're being led by the law. Now I want you to turn to Romans chapter 7. And again, I want to read this out of the Amplified. Chapter 7, verse 6. But we are discharged from the law and have terminated all intercourse with it, having died to what once restrained us and held us captive. So now we serve not under obedience to the old code of written regulations, but under obedience to the promptings of the Spirit in newness of life. The first part says we are discharged from the law and all intercourse with it. And this is an area that God just really opened my eyes to not long ago. If He's written His law in my heart, I just figured, well, I'll be able to live up to the commandments. Easy, because it's right here. But it says right here, all intercourse with the law has been terminated. This walk, this new covenant walk, is not about do's and don'ts. It's not about the law. All intercourse has been terminated with it. He said, now I'm under the obedience to the prompting of the Spirit. Does the Holy Spirit prompt you to do's and don'ts? I used to think when something little went wrong and I felt guilty, the Spirit was telling me, okay, you need to fix this. But I looked all through the Scriptures and I could not find one Scripture where the Holy Spirit ever pointed out a fault. Not one. The Holy Spirit does not work with you so that you can measure up to the law. It's not about the law. All of that's been terminated. The Holy Spirit's job is to cause you to become God-conscious. It says He's the comforter. He's the intercessor. He's the Spirit of truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. He's causing you to take on a new identity. He prompts you in such a way that you can begin to see you taking on the nature of God. Remember what the word baptism meant? The word endue me, it's to be clothed with. The job of the Holy Spirit is to clothe you with a new identity. The identity that you have in the Father. The identity that you have in Jesus. What Jesus has done for you. He's always prompting you. His divine power is giving you everything you need that pertains to life and godliness. Everything that pertains to life. Everything that we could possibly need to live this physical life. But everything that we need that pertains to being godly. You see, my working up faith according to my willpower is not the prompting of the Spirit, because He's already done that. And if I will just allow Him to lead me, then I will experience those things of the kingdom. Most of us, we don't experience those things. We know them right here. But the only way you can open up your eyes to see the kingdom that's within you is as the Spirit interacts with you. And you have those aha moments with God. And it just comes by spending time with Him. By taking time to just sit at His feet. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. That's the prompting of the Spirit. That's what the Spirit's trying to bring you into, to show you the things that are freely given to you of God. And why is it that after all these years, we don't seem to know those things? That's because we've been involved with another gospel, mixing it together, and we become self-conscious, focusing on the things that self has not measured up to. And when you focus on yourself, it's like the branch that's taken out of that trunk. It will wither up and die. Because if it depends on self, in my willpower, I could get this far every time, but never quite this far. And I'd slide back down again. But the Spirit prompts you into the things that are freely given to you of God. Part of the problem is we didn't know that. Because I thought that Spirit was the one that gave me those wonderful moments, but it was also the one that kept saying, Susan, you didn't do that right. Susan, you need to do this again. You need to tell them you're sorry. That's your conscience. But we had our conscience, self, mixed up with the Spirit. So I wasn't listening for the right voice. And every time that I always felt like it was, you know, can't be too proud and be a Christian, you know. So if someone came up and said, good job, Susan. Yeah, well, I could have done it better. I didn't respond to those promptings. Instead, I could have just said, well, thank you. But that just seemed like that was, you know, that was a little bit too much in the pride realm. God wants you to be proud of who you are. I had a low self-esteem. I wasn't proud of who I was, and I was better than the rest. I was like Andrew. I hadn't done all those things that people did. I just knew that I didn't measure up. And God deals with all of us where we are in a way that we can understand. And when I hear the word unmerited favor, it makes me want to hide. Because all my life, I carried around that image, unmerited favor. He's given it to me, but I don't deserve it. I'm just a worm. The Holy Spirit wants to bring you in oneness together with God. He wants you to be in Him minded. He doesn't want you to be self-minded. It sounds so good, but it's a perverted gospel. It's twisted a little bit from the truth. Turn to, let me just read this out of the Message Bible again in Romans chapter 8. It stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, He'll do the same thing in you that He did in Jesus, bringing you alive to Himself. When God lives and breathes in you, and He does as surely as He did it in Jesus, you are delivered from that dead life. With His Spirit living in you, your body will be alive as Christ. So don't you see that we don't owe this old do-it-yourself life 1 cent? There's nothing in it for us, nothing at all. The best thing to do is give it a decent burial and get on with your new life. Quit focusing on self. Quit focusing on sin. Become God-conscious. God's Spirit beckons. There are things to do and places to go. This resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. And that's what we've made it, a timid, grave-tending life. We're so busy tending to the things of self that we're never allowing ourselves to be God-minded. It's adventurous, expectant, greeting God with a childlike, what's next, Papa? It should be something that is alive and exciting in you. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 and 28, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. It's all about becoming one in Him. It's all about taking on His identity so that you can see, when you see yourself, you will begin to see yourself as one with God. He wants you to see yourself as worthy sitting at that table. He's ministering the kingdom to you. He's doing that by grace, by the voice of the Holy Spirit that makes you alive to God. And one last scripture in Philemon, verse number 6. If you want to know how to exercise becoming one with God. If there's anything you can do, this is what you can do. That the communication, and that word communication means intimacy, of thy faith may become effectual, powerfully active, by acknowledging every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus. The more you acknowledge Him in you, the more you focus on being God conscious, the more alive you will become. That's the gospel. That's what He wants us to receive. That's what He wants us to be a witness of. And Jesus says, as I am in this world, so are you also. He's called us to do that work. Jesus fulfilled the law of Christ, the law of commandments. It's terminated. It's not about do's and don'ts. And now we fulfill the law of Christ, which is to bear one another's burden. We do as Jesus did. We go and breathe life into those people around us by filling them with the truth of God's word. But first of all, you have to have it yourself. Amen.